Have you ever, bought the cheapest tool on the shelf, got that quick hit of satisfaction at the register, and then, it just completely shatters in your hands 10 minutes later?
Oh, yeah, it's the worst feeling.
Right. It's basically a cognitive sugar rush. You get this quick high from saving a few bucks today, followed by a massive, frustrating crash tomorrow.
Exactly.
So today, in our deep dive into your Laws of Life workbook, we're looking at why your brain is literally wired to make that terrible purchase, and how the exercises in week two, day one, are designed to rewrite that programming.
I mean, that sugar rush analogy is perfect because buying cheap is fundamentally a biological
A
reaction.
biological reaction,
Yeah,
really.
absolutely. When you look at the price tag of a high-quality item, your brain's threat detection system just lights up. Evolutionarily speaking, your brain views spending money as a literal loss of stored energy.
Wow. Okay, so it sees it as a threat to survival.
Right. It wants to protect its resources right now, today. So a lower price automatically feels like a smaller threat.
Well, wait. Let me play devil's advocate here for a second. If my brain is trying to protect my energy, wouldn't buying something cheap that breaks
And
immediately?
forces you to go back to the store.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't that trigger a much bigger threat response? Why is the brain being so incredibly short-sighted?
Because your amygdala, the brain's alarm system, it's just terrible at calculating future abstract scenarios.
I see.
It only cares about the immediate, tangible loss of resources right in front of it, right this second. It screams, "Protect the energy now," and completely ignores the future cost.
Which explains so much. It's that contrast between a poverty consciousness, like buying cheap out of scarcity, and the wealthy habit of evaluating long-term value.
Exactly. And that's why it's so hard to master. You have to actively override your biology.
Which brings us to the actual mechanics of today's exercises. So we're looking at law two, always be frugal, never be cheap, because frugality breeds wealth, but cheapness leads to poverty.
Right.
And the journal exercises for day one aren't just about, making better budgets. They're designed to expose those hidden neurological traps.
Yeah, that first question, analyzing how your view of highly successful people has changed. That primes the pump.
Exactly. And then instead of just telling you to spend wiser, the workbook makes you write down a highly specific memory of a time you went cheap and absolutely regretted it.
Which is brilliant. That specific prompt acts as a cognitive speed bump.
A speed bump, how so?
Well, when you force yourself to physically write out that past regret, you are dragging that memory out of the emotional center of the brain. You're forcing your prefrontal cortex, the logical planning part of your brain, to actually process it.
Oh, wow. So it physically interrupts the amygdala's automatic panic about price.
Exactly. You're laying down new, deliberate neural pathways for evaluating utility instead of just reacting to a price tag.
So you're basically training your prefrontal cortex to step in and say, hey, remember what happened last time? And then the third question builds on that by making you create three universal rules to ask yourself before any major purchase, a proactive filter.
Yeah, it's all about shifting from reaction to deliberate evaluation.
And I noticed this exact same mechanism in the mental code rewrites we're doing today.
Those are so powerful.
Yeah. The one that really stood out to me is swapping the phrase, I can't afford this, for how can I have it and what must I give up?
That shift is huge. I
Ugh.
mean, when you say, I can't afford it, you're giving your brain a dead-end statement. It just shuts down entirely.
It's just game over.
Right. But asking, how can I have it? Forces the brain's problem-solving networks to turn on. You switch from a passive state of deprivation to an active creative mode.
You're literally giving your brain a puzzle to solve,
Exactly.
which ties perfectly into the final exercise, right? The bedtime evaluation.
Yes, the bedtime question.
So tonight, as you're falling asleep, the workbook asks you to pose one specific question to yourself. What is one thing I really want that seems unreachable right now, and how can I change that so it becomes inevitable?
Such a great prompt.
But honestly, I have to ask, does asking a question right before you lose consciousness actually do anything?
It really does. I mean, think about what your brain does while you sleep. It's not just turning off, it's consolidating memories and running complex simulations.
Right, the subconscious is still working.
Exactly. By feeding your brain a specific solution-oriented prompt right before you drift off, you're directing that nocturnal processing power. You're priming the subconscious to solve for X while the conscious mind rests.
I love that. So your mission today is to dive into the day one reading, tackle those three journal questions, and start building those cognitive speed bumps.
Yeah, get to work on this. It's the groundwork you absolutely need to have in place before we hit tomorrow's module.
It really is the foundation for shifting how you value everything in your life. And I'll leave you with this final thought to mull over today.
Let's hear it.
If your subconscious is constantly working to solve the puzzles you feed it, what invisible scripts of scarcity is your brain currently executing right now without your permission?